Yes,
oh, no. Shoot him in the beginning. Yo, we're gonna stop playing that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm gonna get out there
for a reason.
Welcome back to Navigating Teen Life, the podcast where we dive deep into the issues that matter most to teens: relationships, mental health, genes, and the challenges they face today, or just navigating the ups and downs of teenage life. We're here to unpack it all. I'm Ja, and I'm here with my amazing co-hosts, Kylie, Brendan, and Keenan.
Hey everyone, in today's episode, we have two incredible guests who have made it their life's work to empower youth and give back. We're so excited to talk with them about how they choose to pour into the next generation.
That's right. We're here with Miss Nikita, our Senior Regional Director here at Boys and Girls Club of Metro Baltimore. We're also here with Mr. Johnson, aka Coach, an awesome club manager at the Door Boys and Girls Club who's been putting in the work with young people in Baltimore City. Welcome, you two.
Hey, Kylie girl, and hey, y'all. Thank y'all for having me here. I'm Miss Nikita.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Coach. Thank you for this amazing opportunity. I'm ready.
Let's get started by getting to know you both a little better. Miss Nikita, can you share with us what your role at the Boys and Girls Club involves and why you're so passionate about your work with young people?
Absolutely. So, my job is pretty simple, just overseeing all the club sites here in Baltimore City and just making an impact in the youth and the people that we serve on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's where my passion stems from. Very excited about helping and giving back and, you know, it's a part of my day-to-day routine.
Clock it. It's giving amazing. Thanks, Miss Nikita. Coach, you've been both coaching and mentoring athletes. What drew you to work with youth? And what's your biggest inspiration driving you to continue to pour into youth?
Well, actually, my goal wasn't to actually even coach. One day I just happened to be at one of my nephew's basketball game, and I didn't really think that the coach was doing a real good job. So I kind of like helped him out a little bit, and boom. After that session, the administrators asked me to come on board, and you know, things just took off from there. It's been a great ride, 31 years of doing what I love to do, and that is being an impactful person to young people that I know have the ability to be greater than what they even know that they have inside of them.
So with being so close to young people, how have you seen the world of youth engagement and mentorship change over the years? What do you think has remained the same and what's different?
I think it's a few similarities, but a lot has changed over the years. When I was a teen, we didn't have this platform. We didn't have podcasting. We weren't big on social media. So you guys have a voice, and I think that's the difference. And you guys are now able to advocate for yourself and tell people what you want so that the mentorship can be tailored towards your needs and development.
That's a great response, Miss Nikita. Just to piggyback off of her, platforms now give our young people the ability to be heard. Oftentimes I talk with them and saying they just want to be heard. Our voices need to be elevated. We get into situations where we are so much impacted about the negative side of our young people, but there's so much positive out there with them. And if we just allow them to come to the table, have a seat at the table, and be able to voice their opinions, things will go really well.
I agree. All right, let's get into the importance of today's conversation. While you've chosen to pour into youth, can you tell us about any projects or events you're involved in that you're really excited about? Also, what's been the most rewarding part of your role lately?
If you guys know about our Ravens clubs coming online in the fall, I think that's really exciting for me just to be able to open a clubhouse in West Baltimore and provide experiences for over 900 youth. So really looking forward to that. And then I think the most rewarding part is this last month, I really got to get an opportunity to get out to my clubs and get involved. And, you know, my day to day, it looks a little different throughout the course of the year. But being here with you guys today and also on Friday doing another event at another clubhouse is very rewarding.
So for me, I think my biggest project right now is just simply being the club manager at the Door Boys and Girls Clubs, because it's so rewarding. You're dealing with so many different types of individuals. And when you can have the ability to mesh all of those different personalities together, that sense sends me like a great sense of pride. There can be days when I will not want to go to work, but when I get there and the kids are coming in, my whole demeanor, my whole mentality changes because I know that I'm pouring something into those young people, but they don't realize that they're actually pouring, you know, something into me as well. So that's my greatest reward.
We all know that teen mental health is a big topic these days, and it's not always easy to talk about. What do you think are some of the biggest pressures teens face right now that really impacts how we feel mentally?
I think it's a sense of belonging. You know, you guys are at that age where you're trying to figure out who you are, trying to figure out your friends, your, you know, hormones are jumping, and you're getting ready for the next stage in your life. So I think most importantly is finding out who you are and, you know, understanding who you are and, you know, using that and using your voice and speaking up for yourself and also speaking to people when you need support. I think that mentally that's a really big piece of, you know, the pressure that you guys face these days is using your voice and being able to stand up for yourself.
I would have to definitely agree with Ms. Nikita. I think most of our young people know who they are, but they don't know who they are, if that makes sense. A lot of our young people are faced with so many challenges that come from other young people, and they're trying to make a sense of belonging. I want to fit in. I want to do this. I want to do that. And the pressures build up on them to whereas it overwhelms them to a certain degree. I just think that young people need to realize that you are who you are, be happy with who you are, and life will fall into place as you want it to once you allow it and accept who you are.
It's so important to have support. With everything that teens are going through, it can feel overwhelming at times. From what you have seen, do you have any advice to help teens deal with their mental health struggles? And what are some ways to prioritize your mental health?
Yeah, I would say finding that trusted adult, you know, whether it's someone at the club, someone at home, a sibling or someone you can talk to. I think that's the most important part is finding someone you trust. So therefore, when you are going through things, when life is life and for y'all making sure that, you know, you have somebody who you can talk to and be able to help navigate you through that. And if I prioritize the mental health, it's just knowing when to take a step back, you know. As an adult, we also still have to find a way to take a step back. Last Friday, I'm like, you know what? I need a couple of days off. So I took a couple of days off. So it's just really understanding your triggers and knowing when to stop and then, you know, when to get help and when to keep pushing.
I think when teens feel overwhelmed, they just need to step back, visualize what it is that's important to them. What is making my mental health stable? What's allowing me to be me? Like Ms. Nikita said, you definitely have to have that one supportive person that you can go to, somebody that you can just lay everything out on the table. You know that you guys now have that saying, we listen, but we don't judge. That's what our young people need. You guys need someone who's going to listen to you, but not judge you. And then ask you, what is it that you want from us? What can we do to make things a lot better for you?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us. Social media is huge right now. Let's be real. It adds a lot of pressure. What advice can you share with teens on learning to spot those pressures and take a step back, especially when it feels like everyone around them is constantly trying to keep up with trends or expectations?
I would say go with your intuition, you know, your gut feeling. You know if something isn't right, you know, whatever the latest trend is on social media. You guys, you know, you're very empathetic young people and you have the emotions to be able to understand. If it's something that you wouldn't want done to you, then, you know, take that and step into that and understand that. But also, too, like with the latest trends and expectations, if you know who you are, if you're figuring out who you are, understand what you like, what you don't like. And then, you know, just be you. Like, seriously, just really be you and then you'll be fine.
I think social media is a get in where you fit in type thing. Young people are very impressionable. The slightest new thing will draw their attention. Be who you are. social media is gigantic. It can consume you, but you have to be able to distinguish what's best for you, what's not best for you. Sometimes it's not always good to be with the in crowd. Sometimes it's just best to be you. And then other people will realize you. And then you just go from there.
In our last episode, we talked about how teens today have so much access to social media, which brings a lot of stress. How do you see social media affecting the way young people view themselves and their self-worth?
I think we got to look at social media from two lenses. Now, it can be stressful at times, but in retrospect, there's so much information on social media, you know. You have people who view themselves as athletes, right? So you have videos and trainings and things online on social media that can be beneficial. But when we think about it in terms of like a stress level and them trying to fit in and keep up with the latest J's or whatever that's out there, I think if it's for you, it's for you. You'll know it's for you. And, you know, just be yourself and understand who you are. And I'm going to always go back to that because if you know who you are and what you want and what you believe in, then you'll know what's for you.
I kind of look at social media. For this question, I'll look at social media from a coach's standpoint. I try to tell my players all the time, don't emulate that athlete that you see on TV, on social media, whatever the case may be, because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be who you're looking at on social media or on TV. Define who you are. Allow yourself to grow. Allow yourself to be you. Social media can be very positive a lot of times, and it can be very negative at a lot of times. Don't be influenced by what you see. Be influenced by what you know and who you are, and live it out that way.
Since we're talking about pressure, bullying has also evolved, especially online. In your opinion, how can teens be better advocates for themselves and others when it comes to bullying, both in person and on social media?
On social media, simple. Stop reposting stuff. Like, I know videos trending on TikTok and on Instagram and y'all repost it. I think, you know, that's further sharing the trauma that someone may be enduring. And I think also, too, like, just taking a stance, you know, understanding if you see someone struggling or being bullied, step up for them. I think that'll go a great way.
I feel like on social media,
yeah,
all you have to do,
just close the computer.
All you have to do is block them.
Then y'all be putting stuff in y'all close friends and all of that. Like,
yeah,
like just don't, just stop.
Right. So, I mean, that's basically what I was going to say. Blocked.
That's what blocked.
I'm saying.
Blocked.
Just block. There's a big red box.
It's there for a reason.
But like blocked. Bullying in person, I feel like it's different.
Yeah, that is different. You got to have heart. Like, you really got to step up and, you know, understand what the person is doing wrong. But also, not even just you being bullied. If you see someone else being bullied, I think that takes a lot of courage.
I mean, I always thought that, well, we have to understand that people who bully people are not bullying them because they're bad people. Like, it's something I got to get off my chest. And you're the first person I see, so you're going to catch it. I'm going to give it to you. I don't think young people nowadays want to bully, but because the way society is.
And it makes them look good.
It builds up their, you know, what's that rep? It builds their rep up and, you know, yo, did you see me do this or such and such and such and such. So now you've gained popularity in one sort of a way, but now you're hurting somebody else in another way. So bullying can be extremely dangerous, but I don't think people bully because they want to. It's like you said, it's something inside of them that they just got to get out. So if you're the victim, then so be it. I mean, you're the victim.
I don't condone bullying. I don't think anybody, but well, in the city we're in right now, I don't think anybody bullies people.
No, there's bullying around here.
I don't be seeing it. The closest you come to bullying is like, oh, he stank.
So that's a form of bullying, though.
I mean, you gotta let somebody know are unhygienic. And if you're constantly unhygienic, you gotta like step it up.
But all there's a way of saying it instead of saying it in front of everybody.
Next question, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know bullying can have a huge impact on mental health, sometimes way after it happens. Miss Nikita, do you have any examples of a teen who faced bullying but found strength and resilience through it? How did you help them through that?
Yeah, it was a tough situation. It was years ago when I was at a club, and this one individual, some of the things you guys earlier, you spoke on, hygiene, also clothes and appearance and everything. She got bullied very badly. And, you know, once she entered our clubhouse, we stopped it. You know, we had the friends in the clubhouse rally around her, in which they then went back to school and rallied around her. But in addition to that, also, too, I was able to get her some resources, get her some personal hygiene, also get her some clothing and things like that to make her feel more confident in herself. And through Smart Girls, you know, I really relied on that program just to kind of get her to understand her self-worth and understand who she is as an individual. And I think that helped boost her confidence. She was a leader by trade. So with that, pair that with, you know, now getting the recognition and everything and, you know, her leadership, she went far.
So, Coach, I know you've worked with a lot of young athletes. Can you share a moment that's really stuck with you? Where you saw a team break through their personal barriers, whether it was in sports or in life in general?
Oh, man, I could give you a lot of those, Ja. But one particular one I'll actually reflect on is, I'm sure you guys are following the Maryland men's basketball team right now. And
Sweet 16.
I had the pleasure of coaching one of the players that is now playing for Maryland. He was on varsity. I was JV coach, but I still had the opportunity to coach him, Juju. And in the beginning, when he got to St. Francis.
That's Angel Reese's brother, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
He was not what you would anticipate or what you would see now. He was very shy, very laid back. Didn't really want to put himself into the position of even thinking about playing basketball. And as a coach, you can naturally detect an athlete. It's just in our blood. And I approached him one day and I said, well, you're pretty good. You want to try out? And he was like, nah, not really. And I left it at that. But I would always watch him in the gym. And I would always watch him in the gym. And I'd be like, are you sure you don't want to play basketball? And you're like, nah, I don't want to do it. I'm like, okay. So he didn't play his freshman year. We came back to sophomore year. He tried out for the team and he didn't make the team. When he didn't make the team, he got kind of like, you know, you guys, when y'all get cut, you'd be like, I knew I shouldn't have tried out anyway. You know, that was his mentality. But during the summer, he worked on his game and he got better. He got bigger. He got stronger. And when he came back his junior season, he just exploded. And I kind of looked at him and been like, see, if I hadn't kept at him and kept letting him know that there is a hidden talent inside of you that you need to bring out, he may have never gotten to where he is now. So I think that's one of my proudest moments as a coach. I actually talked to him like maybe a week and a half ago and told him that I got a lot of money riding. No, I'm just kidding. I need you guys to do this. And he has stepped up. This is his senior year. His stock has risen. So being able to see an individual who doesn't think that he has anything in him, and you can get him to eventually realize that there is something inside of me and I can do this, kind of puts that warm feeling inside of my heart. So that's kind of like my biggest reward since I've been doing this.
That's deep, Coach. That's deep.
I feel like one of us in here got untapped potential too.
Oh, you above.
Well, if... at some point, you're going to have to take the cap off and let the talent out. You just can't sit on it. If you don't use it, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah, I'm definitely dunking on one of y'all this summer.
Like, wish yeah, you, okay. You wish.
Yeah, okay.
I already gave you buckets. Come on.
You ain't saying coach one-on-one. My money on coach. He got a clip.
Yeah. And you're at what school?
Ben Franklin.
Oh, you're my man with Russ.
Oh, Coach Russell?
Oh, yeah, Coach Russell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We already got Cedric.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, we played them actually in the first round of the state playoffs, and it was horrible. Like, it was, oh my God, they just like beat us like we were a drum.
Okay, we've talked a lot about tough topics like mental health and bullying, but let's lighten things up a bit. Can you both share a fun childhood memory that really sticks out for you? Something that resonates with how teens today interact with each other, or just a moment of pure joy?
I would have to say my biggest real childhood memory and proudest moment was when I won, you might remember when Salvation Army Boys and Girls Club had the award Boy of the Year, Man of the Year. And when I won that award, like, you couldn't tell me anything. Like, I was the, you know, that S word. That was me. You know, I that was probably my biggest moment as a kid, not thinking that anybody was paying attention, and which is normally how our young people are today. You guys think that no one is paying attention, and there are a lot of people that are watching everything, your greatness, your potential. So that would probably would have been my proudest kid moment when I won Boy of the Year award.
That's lit. For me, it was like just being outside. You know, y'all say y'all outside, but like we were really outside. Like y'all be in the house playing video games and all on social media. Mm-hmm. We literally from sun up to sundown. Now, when the street lights came on, we had to go back inside. But like literally just running through the neighborhood, going to the community pool, hanging out with my friends, not having a care in the world, riding bikes, knocking on people's doors, just going in their house and just chilling and hanging out. So our childhood was real lit, like just really literally being outside.
I think that was our childhood too.
Yeah.
I was
outside like that every day.
Back then, yeah.
Knocking. Back then being punished.
Wait, what's back then? You like 16. What's back then?
Back then being punished. You couldn't go outside, but now you couldn't be inside.
Bro, and then when them street lights came on, bro.
Absolutely.
Yo, no, seriously. Aren't y'all like 17 and 18?
Yeah.
So y'all still abide by the street lights?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that was our code.
Right. It was like when those streets light came on. Oh, no, that was
like used to.
Thank you. It's so important to remind ourselves of the simple joys of being young. I think we sometimes forget that before all the pressures of growing up, there was so much fun to be had. Ms. Nikita, can you share one thing you miss the most about being in your own 10 years?
I think I kind of captured it a little bit on the last question, but I would say friendship, like just in a sense of it was more communal, you know? It wasn't, oh, let me hit you up on Instagram. It was like, I'm knocking on your door, I'm coming over your house and just kind of hanging out. So I think that was one of the most rewarding experiences through my teen years is literally growing up with my friends and just kind of hanging out with them and really knowing them on a more personal level and being real authentic.
I mean, we do that now.
Yeah, kind of.
Go ahead,
don't do that no more.
Y'all text all day long.
No,
y'all be
don't.
On social media.
No, we going outside playing basketball.
I don't be on social media.
All right, maybe
I,
not y'all. It's like this is, social you media. Know, but like I have. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
See, I mean,
I have two nephews, two nieces, and a 12-year-old, about to be 13-year-old child. Like, social media and texting is their lives. So I don't, maybe y'all live in a different environment than they do, but.
We just be over at your house doing nothing.
I could be in my room, right? I could literally be in my room watching TV. My daughter will text me, hey, can I XYZ? I'm like, come in the room. Like, you can ask that question in person. So like, that's what I mean. Like nowadays, y'all just so tuned into y'all phone and stuff and it's just a way of life. But I just really, my teenage years, like that in-person connection.
You're not wrong. Cause my mom can literally be like 3 feet away
exactly.
And I'll still
gonna
text her.
Oh, my mom texts me.
Loser.
Or she yells my name, either way.
Oh, yeah, you know when she's not responding at me, come here. Your mom always do that.
That's what that mean, it do.
She call my name and I say yes, and
she
doesn't
don't
say
answer.
Anything.
And it'd be for like the most idiotic reasons, like a remote that'd be right next to her.
The remote was underneath your pillow.
Did she ask you to come and get it?
Yes.
Oh,
no, she asked me, can you come help me find my remote?
It was under the pillow.
You found it like 1.1 second?
Yes. And it wasn't even hidden. It was sticking out because it was on the edge of the bed.
And
she just wanted to see you, Kylie. That's it.
And coach, how about you? Is there a particular moment from your childhood that you think could resonate with teens today? Maybe something that helps remind you that it's okay to just be kids sometimes.
Greatest experience was just getting on my mongoose bike, clicking up with my friends, and riding from East Baltimore to West Baltimore, and never ever have to worry about getting into a fight with somebody from another neighborhood. We didn't have that back in the day. Of course, everybody had their own little space and whatnot, but just being able to get on your bike and ride from sun up to sundown. We would stop at the little Tasty Cake Factory that used to be now Raven Stadium, and we would just, you know, go behind and jump in the dumpsters and get all the tasty cakes out of there and everything. And then we would just ride and eat and talk and
You would pick the cakes out of the dumpster?
Well, yeah, of course.
We did that too. They called it the goody trash can. Like, that's literally, they would
absolutely
have snacks in there and call it a goody trash can.
Yes. That was
was it, that was, think, was that it at least was in us. The packaging?
Yeah.
They were still in the
okay, so yeah. It was like stuff that expired or something.
Yeah.
You ain't wear expired?
No,
like almost expired.
Well, when we say expired, we don't mean 20, 30 days, like, a week or so. And then we would just snatch them up and go ride and eat. And we had this little spot out off of Sinclair Lane. Like, there's a little bridge and there's water. And we would just park our bikes there and we would jump off the cliff into the water. And we would just be kids. We had no pressure.
No phones.
No nothing. We were just kids.
We had the same childhood. Y'all keep bringing up phones. What would y'all do without y'all phones today? Don't you use your phones to work? You use your phone, your computer.
But you just said to work.
Like, but you need money, right?
I can live without my phone.
I don't know, coach. I can't live without my phone.
See, at least we got one true person in the room.
I can because I'm more addicted to my TV than I am my phone.
They're the same thing.
No.
You could still watch stuff on your phone.
Well, true. But
I mean, you could do everything on your phone.
And like, think of this scenario. You're a club manager. What if a staff doesn't show up to work and you don't have your phone? What do you do?
Well, my phone is always with me. I just don't always use it. Prime example
is... You might not
know
it yet, but...
No, prime example is my phone is always with me, but when I'm in the club, I don't have it on me. Like, I'll have it on my desk or... Prime example is my boss will call me and then I'll go look at my phone and they'll be like, oh, she called me. Prime example, your mom called me 3 times yesterday. I didn't answer because I didn't have my phone, but I did block her. I didn't know the number. I didn't know the number, so I blocked it, but she's unblocked now, but... Yeah, I did.
Prime example of why he said he doesn't need his phone. It's different. You know, you got business and pleasure.
Yeah.
He needs it for business, not so much pleasure like y'all.
Yeah.
I don't doom scroll, so.
Cap.
Don't lie.
You'll be sending like 5 reels a day.
Right.
Right.
That's you send them is real. 5 reels a day because we're intermission.
No, you don't send 5 reels. You send way more than 5 reels.
What, he be spamming?
Yes. Every time I see my phone, Instagram, and you... Instagram. And he sent it to all the group chats being. Like, I get 3 different notifications from him from 3 different group chats. I'm like, bro, why? Next question.
She cut that short, didn't she?
Yes.
She don't like us having fun.
Yeah, we actually put emotion in the podcast this time.
Right.
Let's talk about advice. If you could give one piece of advice to teens today, especially those of us who might be struggling or feeling lost, what would it be?
I would say be patient, you know. Feel the emotions that you're feeling. Confide in the people that you trust. And then you'll find a way, you know, with the support, the resources, and understanding your emotions. I think that's very important. And then, you know, you'll have some support along the way, and then you'll be fine. You'll bounce back.
I tell my kids all the time, be you. And trust you. That's it. I mean, it's not a lot more that can be said. Be you and trust you. You're the only one that can let you down. You're the only one. Be you and trust you.
What about for teens who are feeling motivated to give back to other youth in their communities just like you? What would you say to them about getting involved and making a difference?
I would say, what you waiting for? let's do it. You know, there's a lot of youth serving programs out there. Get connected to one and use your voice. You know, you guys came to the club within a lot last year or so. And look at you now, you know. Find a youth serving organization, have your voice heard, and then you'll make that difference that you're seeking.
Handle your business. Connect with that one person that's going to make sure you grow. It's going to make sure you blossom. That's going to have the same ideals, the same concepts as you, so that you can handle your business.
This conversation has been great, but let's wrap things up.
Ty.
You kicking us off, Kylie?
Kind of.
Okay.
But before we do, I have a question. What's the moment that really hit you and made you say, this is why I do what I do? That one moment that keeps you going and reminds you that this is why your work matters so much?
For me, it's simple. It's you guys, you know, the youth that we serve. I often tell my staff, and Coach could probably fill in a sentence, whenever I'm having a stressful day, I put down my laptop. What I do, Coach?
Go to a club.
I go to a club, and it's that simple. I could be having the worst day. As soon as I get to the club, get active, hang out with the kids, my day changes.
For me, it's kind of like two parts. It's the first part is that person that saw something in me when I was at the Boys and Girls Club. Never gave up on me, showed me the right way. And the second part is absolutely the kids that I deal with on a daily basis. You, like I said in the beginning, you guys may not realize that you guys really do pour into us. We take things from you. You may not notice it, but we take things from y'all. And we grow from y'all as well. So definitely our kids.
Y'all keep me hip. Y'all keep me youthful, you know?
Thank you so much for joining us today. You share so much wisdom and insight, and we can tell how much heart you put into your work with the youth. Thank you for everything that you do to inspire and empower the next generation.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate being here today.
Thank you for the opportunity. You guys stay safe.
To our listeners, we hope today's episode gave you some perspective and motivation to think about how you can make a difference in your community or simply take better care of yourself and those around you. Thanks for tuning in to Navigating Teen Life. We'll be back with more Teen Talk next time.
Take care, everyone. And remember, the power to create change is within you. See you next time.